Very small orchestra. That's just me and Mike Jones playing there. This is Penn Jillette with Michael Goudeau here in Las Vegas on Free FM, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. And we have here our very good friend, Chris Angel, who's taking time out from his stupid busy. How many shows have you done in Anina?
Over 20.
Overall?
Like overall.
Like 45 or something.
So pretty soon you're knocking on Seinfeld, right? When do you go into syndication and the real money starts rolling in?
It's actually playing now worldwide, which is great.
Oh, cool,
it's been really good. And, we have a new show that's going to be coming out called The Magician, which I'll be able to announce. Has nothing to do with magic. It's just all the behind the scenes. It's kind of like Entourage meets, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So it's a comedy show?
Yeah, it's basically all the key characters. There's no actors, and it's just crazy.
Well, that's a nutty thing about,
yeah.
You know, we did your show. You know, that's a nutty, you know, and with the Aristocrats, when we filmed, you know, 140 hours of footage for an hour and a half movie, there's this nutty kind of collage thing happening. How much do you shoot for what happens on the air?
Well, we try to be much more efficient the second season. We try to shoot like 1.2 shows a week, which means basically one full show plus like a quarter of another show, approximately.
Yep. that math's around, right? Yeah, 1.2,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, 1.25,
really.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get technical here, you know. So we shoot. We don't shoot as much, but we do shoot enough to have, you know, behind the scenes material and so that. Whereas the first season, we just shot a zillion hours, and you know, we try to figure out what the stories were in the editing.
I talked to the editors who did the Ozzy Osbourne show, you know,
right.
And they said that every show they did, they could have done a comedy or a tragedy.
Right.
You know, you can do any subject to get that much footage. And I talked to the guys on Mythbusters, you know,
yeah.
And the Mythbusters guys are not showbiz, you know, they're behind the scenes guys. So what essentially is they get obsessed with one of these myths, whether it's the bullet catch,
right,
something like that, and they're in their shop, and there's a film crew shooting them, and the film crew shoots them for a week or 10 days working on this, and then, you know, 3 weeks later, all the footage gets sent to Australia, and 3 weeks later, they see the show, and they have no idea what the directions are, what they're saying, what they're doing, or anything. It's a very nutty thing. But you're involved in the editing, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm the executive producer of the show. I actually sit there, and nothing leaves without my approval. I actually come up with the storylines. I do the writing of the show and sit there in the editing facility, which, you know, now that I have six people working for me in a warehouse of editing, I can't even think of it. Avid, thank you very much. You get to the point where you want somebody else to do it, but you can't do that. You have to see it. You know, you have to be part of that process.
Well, you know, I don't read anything with my name in it. If the name Penn Jillette appears in any article, I do not read it because it's not written for me and because it confuses me. Not the bad stuff, because my personality, if an article says I suck, then I can really come over the top of that. It builds me up. But if people say stuff that's good about me, if it's like 1 degree off, I start going in that direction. I mean, this was years ago when I read stuff. I'm very susceptible, and I really can't stand watching videotape of myself, because I remember watching some of the early Lettermans and turning to my girlfriend at the time and saying, I'm such a bad stutterer. And she would say, you know, what are you talking
about? And then you have a radio show.
I know, but I mean, what I just I hear every imperfection of my voice, and I can't see the forest for the trees. Are you okay watching yourself? Because I know that Gilbert Gottfried, if you just go over his house at a random time, he is sitting in his living room watching videotapes of him on the Hollywood Squares. And I'm not even joking.
Really?
He has videotapes of himself and watches them over and over again. It's a weird kind of narcissism for an ugly little troll of a man, you know? Do you like watching yourself?
No, I have to. And I only watch it to get it done. Once it's done, I don't even watch it when it's on TV, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Sometimes I pull out a DVD because I want to remember something that I did, mm-hmm. but I don't sit around. I don't have the time, quite honestly, and I usually hate what I do a week later. I'm never happy with what I do. It's just part parcel to my personality.
Sure.
You know. But first off, I know we've been talking. I just want to thank you very, very much, Penn, and Michael, for having me on the show again. You guys have been such proponents of mine, and well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We just loved having you on, and, you know, everybody, you know, when we played that show, everybody just went crazy because we usually get, you know, we get like superstar talkers on here, you know, Gilbert Gottfried and mm-hmm. people like that, and it was just a pleasure talking to you. And in a business, you know, magic has a per capita whack jobs and annoying personalities,
especially in Las Vegas, right?
Exactly.
Longer distance per square inch than anywhere else in the world.
And it's really nice to have somebody that. What I love about having you on is that our styles are so entirely different, and yet I understand what you're doing and like it. And a lot of times when someone gets that different from what I'm trying to do, I don't get it. So it's really a pleasure for this. So what cool tricks are you doing this season here?
Well, this season is a growth. I like to think it's a departure from last season. Last season was all about, you know, is Chris going to live or die in every episode? And I didn't want to become a caricature of myself. So I wanted to take people down different roads, you know, show them all the different things that they may have not been exposed to. The opening episode, you know, I'm going to literally try to float from one building to another building.
Uh-huh.
in the middle of the daytime. Random people. A few stories up, which is kind of interesting.
You're going to try?
Yeah, I'm going to
Wow, this is going to be good footage. Have you been practicing?
Actually, I was just practicing in the green room.
Okay, yeah.
And the other thing that I know you're going to actually, you and Teller are going to really appreciate, I'm going to actually walk on water at the Aladdin pool.
Cool. We're putting in a walking on water.
That's where I got the idea. No, I did it on Las Vegas, actually, and it got such a great response.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a 6-second clip on the television show Las Vegas.
Sure.
And I decided, you know, why don't we really do this in like a public place like the Aladdin pool and see, you know, how we can first of all do it. It's a challenge. You know, how are you going to get away with doing this?
Uh-huh.
And so we did it, and it worked out great. But I heard that you're actually putting it in with
a really different thing. You know, the walking on water on still water is something that is an image that's in everyone's mind. And we're working on this, and it's just a bitch. Because we're trying to do it live. We want to do it every night. And we're getting a regulation-size fire hose with hydrant pressure. So it's a horizontal line across the stage about 3 feet up, and then Teller is stepping on that and standing on
that's great.
With people surrounded. We're thinking about getting 12 people up to be disciples because, mm-hmm. you know, we always have to hit the blasphemy thing. Now, not being someone who does the blasphemy thing, how do you feel about the blasphemous nature of doing a Christ illusion?
Well, I think we live in an incredible country where people are able to express themselves, and I think, you know, if you don't like what you see, you change the channel, you don't listen to it, and I do what I do as entertainment. It's mm-hmm. not a religious thing. Although it's a very powerful, iconic image, you know,
sure.
to sit there with your arms open and standing on water.
Are you wearing robes?
Actually, I had the robe on, but it was just to get prepared for the actual event because I was getting my
it was terry cloth.
I just got out of shower, you know. No, I actually wear like just a pair of jeans or something. I can imagine you guys doing that, though.
We are touching on the religious significance. You know, we've done water to wine. We've done rolling away the stone. We've done loaves to fish and fishes. You know, we tend to want to do the more biblical magic.
See, I just changed directions. I did water to beer because I figured if you make beer appear, every guy will watch because they want to know how to make beer appear. You know, and if you start up a band, you should call them Free Beer.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, because everybody will come and watch the show. You know, they'll think they'll get
free
beer.
Yeah, you take this water and you put it in this big vat with some hops. It's amazing.
It's slower.
3 weeks later.
It's slower than you normally.
But so we have a lot of different things. I'm making a 9,000-pound elephant in tribute to Siegfried and Roy. Who have been synonymous with Las Vegas and animal magic.
And invented animal magic.
Yeah, really did it. Form, yeah. So we're bringing that to the streets, doing that surrounded, and just a host of other things. We're going to be doing a celebrity seance in a supposedly haunted place here in Las Vegas.
What place is supposedly haunted in Las Vegas?
It's about 2.5 hours away. That's all I know. I'm going to make the pilgrimage there shortly to see this place and to see this woman supposedly is obsessed with going through this ritual, and if there's no one that shows up, she painted people on the wall, and she still does this performance every night to the people painted on the wall, which is out there to begin with. So I have to go meet her.
So this is a real crazy woman that...
Yeah, I guess. Unless she's an artist and she doesn't have canvas and she just paints on the walls.
And you're going to do a seance in that room.
Yeah, we're going to get her. a bunch of people to come in, and celebrities. And
now, are you going to do some of the real seance tricks that were done? Are you doing some of your own? Are you doing some of the original stuff that Houdini busted, for instance?
Well, we're going to do some stuff that there's legend has it there was a young girl that lived in this house. And she died in a specific room, and we're going to be doing a seance in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing all sorts of things that some old techniques, some more modern kind of concepts, and they're going to mix it up and hopefully scare the hell out of the celebrities. So they would we're going to put cameras on each of them, so they'll have like a lipstick, their own point of view, and hopefully they run out of the house
now,
crying like little babies.
You know that scaring celebrities is easier than scaring regular people.
Is
know?
It?
I think so. You're going to get ones that are jaded. Do you have them picked out yet?
Yeah, we have the 3-6 Mafia. They just won an Oscar actually for a song. And we have Steve Valentine is going to come by, Steve V, who acts on, he's on a show called Crossing Jordan.
Okay, so you're going with that theme a little bit there.
Yeah, so we're going to have, I think, a model from Maxim.
You've got to have a model from Maxim. You know. When we did Sin City Spectacular, which is the show we did ages ago on FX, and we did a whole season of those, and we have celebrity guests.
Right.
We had to write more bits for models from Baywatch, and I don't know if you've had this experience, but the first few, when they say, you know, they're giving you this this, you know, perfect TNA woman, she's going to come on your show, you can do stuff with her. Mm. The first three, you're like, wow, solid, it's going to be great stuff. And by the time we got to like 15, it was like, what are we going to do with another busty blonde? Let me see. We've done the card trick in the hot tub. We've done the trying to find the Playboy bunnies tattooed under her breast. We've done four bra
the
tricks.
Bra prediction, yeah.
We did a bra prediction. We did a thing with Carmen Electra where we had her demonstrating CPR while I humped Resuscitation Annie. You know, it just gets to the point where you're writing so many things for that. You know, we wrote at least 100 bits for stupid rock stars and Maxim models that were the identical bits. I remember we had like we were in high heels and all sorts of stuff.
Teller and who was the actor in high heels?
Well, one of the Brat Pack guys we had in high heels.
Yeah.
And we had David Arquette on. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was the only thing I could think of was he wrote this bit for Patricia Arquette.
Mm-hmm.
And
she wasn't available.
We booked her, and then like the next week we had this bit for Patricia Arquette all written, and then we had David Arquette like 2 weeks later. So I just did the whole bit word for word as though he were Patricia Arquette, including kissing him.
It probably worked out to be
fine. It was fine. It went great. So we know what it's like to be eating up material at this speed. What else you got on this show?
One of the things that I'm really excited about, because when I was a kid, you probably used to watch Evel Knievel on television.
Sure.
Do these crazy jumps, and I used to go in my backyard and make a makeshift ramp with my bicycle, and then I got motorcycles, and I was obsessed with this. So I finally got the opportunity to literally train for almost a month with a guy named Trigger Gum, who has the world record 277 feet of a super jump he did in Australia. It's in a world record Guinness book. And he trained me. So
277 feet? That's almost a football field.
Exactly. And now he's going for 330-something feet. It's insane. So he trained me, and I wanted to do, for me, what would be a monumental jump of 100 feet. But in the midst of the jump, and there's no switches, this is really me doing it. Uh-huh. In the midst of the jump, I wanted to vanish, like to do a twist. So you see me, all the training and stuff like that, I take off the jump, an explosion goes off, I jump through the explosion, the motorcycle crashes on the ground, I'm gone, and I appear in front of, or in the midst of 2,000 people that showed up to see this at the Aladdin. So it was a really interesting twist on something I always wanted to do, mixing kind of, you know, another art form with
do you wear a helmet, Chris?
I did.
Yeah, you know.
but I didn't when I was training, though.
You're going to want to wear a helmet, not for safety of the jump, but for magical reasons.
Yeah. No, but the thing is that I didn't wear the helmet because I wanted people to see that it really was
me. Oh, so you had the helmet off?
Yeah, well, for the 100-foot jump, I didn't, but for, you know, 40, 50 feet, I had it off.
Uh-huh.
And then you know it's emphatically me. It's not somebody else. It really is me. And we devised a way. It was the most expensive effect that I did in the entire second season.
Which for your budget is saying nothing.
$18,000 just for a pile of dirt to land on. I'm serious. And now it's contaminated, and I can't sell it back.
There's a real executive producer.
I was going to say, yeah.
he knows how much things cost.
I could have got that dirt for $1,000.
What do you mean the dirt's contaminated? Once it touches Chris Angel, they can't use it anymore? Well, it has it's now magic dust?
They didn't even want to take it away. I had to pay them to come back and take the dirt away.
Dug it up at the test site.
And then I had to pay, you know, then we had a ramp that was over 20 feet tall. Then I had, you know, motorcycles and you know, pyro was $6,000 just to make a blast that would be the size that I needed it to be.
I like that we're just doing a line item budget. Yeah, that's all we're doing.
So you know, I really do this, you know, so it was insane. But I'm going to Iraq, actually, for 2 episodes. I'm going to perform for the troops.
That's the smarter way to go.
Yeah.
As opposed to performing for, like, Al-Qaeda or terror. You're performing for the troops. Good thinking.
Well, yeah, I guess it is kind of smart, too.
And what magic are you doing for them?
Going to just mix it up, you know, just bring whatever we can bring over there, because they really, really are very, you know, anal with what you take over there, and it's a lot of
and sometimes,
parameters.
Sometimes
and
literally.
Reason. Yeah, yeah. So we have to work within their parameters. So a lot of close-up stuff. Going to do some. I may make a beautiful girl appear out of one of their you know, out of their, one of their luggage. You know, their
bags. I would say playing Double for way. Troops. Beautiful Chicks. Women, really good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, yeah. Really good idea. You want to do that a lot. You can't go wrong. I mean, learn from Bob Hope.
Stuff with machine guns, you know. No, I'm serious.
Girls.
If I'm going to do a
girls.
A
are you listening
trick.
To us?
What, girls,
or
yeah.
Your friends?
No, we have girls.
Just girls. Forget the machine guns.
They see machine guns. They see machine guns all the time. American healthy girls.
Holding machine guns.
Machine guns, they see.
No.
Never mind the machine guns. Don't even Simpsons. Bring your deck of cards. Just walk out and say, "Hi, I'm Chris Angel. Look at these chicks." And stand off to the side. You will do fine. You will kill. It'll be pure showbiz. It'll
point
be great.
Well, point well taken.
What else you got? What other tricks?
Oh, God. What else are we doing? We're doing a thing with called Sucker, where we go out on the streets and we expose scams, you know,
everything good.
From psychics to just hustlers, pickpocketers.
Oh, I love that stuff. I love using our powers for good. And we'll talk about that some more, because one of your tricks that you're selling on the web, the video, mm-hmm. is up all over the place.
It's amazing.
So I want to talk about that after this.
Okay.
This is Penn Jillette with Chris Angel and Michael Godeau in Las Vegas, 866-313-FREE. That's the Mike Jones Enormous Orchestra. You hear more of them at PennRadio.com. This is Penn Jillette here with Michael Godeau and our guest, Chris Angel. You know, the other day, you know Eric Mead. I don't think you know him well, but Eric Mead is the people listening do not know, probably, but Eric Mead was in The Aristocrats. He's one that does the great dirty card trick. And Eric Mead is a card monster. He's really good. And he's plaything for the rich. You know, if you go to any, you know, if you go to like Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates' parties, he's the one that's doing magic there. He's just a monster. And we were out to to breakfast with him the other day, and my wife, who's very careful, you know, she wants to follow all the etiquette of magic so perfectly. She looks over and goes, "I think I can talk about this. We can talk about how Chris Angel does his levitation because it's all over the web." She said, "Did Chris put that out there?" And Eric went, "He's trying to sell the levitation, so I don't think he gave away the levitation everywhere." But that's everywhere, right? How the levitation is done now.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, technology is a wonderful thing, and it really sucks. but at the end of the day, I think it's really, really important to actually purchase the DVD, because they are not exposing a lot of the inner secrets and the inner workings and things that you need to know that you're not going to get from a quick little clip. That DVD is over an hour long, and there's a lot of little gems in it that you really need to
know.
Well,
it's a really smart levitation. Did you develop that? Or?
Actually, it was developed. A guy came to me, a guy named Jacob Spinney came to me with just a concept. He didn't have it work or anything like that, and then I took it from there and developed it and made it function. I made the prototype up, and it took some time. But that's a levitation that was on my show. That was one of the simpler levitations, and you know, it was one that I was willing to give up, and because I wanted cash.
And
it's a great trick.
What's your?
Really,
yeah, it's really good. Yeah. What's your? What's the website?
ChrisAngel.com.
Huh, what a surprise.
Yeah, I forgot how to spell that, though. Penn, how do you spell
it? C-R-I-S-S.
Right.
C-R-I-S-S, Angel.
Yeah. Well, no wonder you need money.
Yeah.
You also have... spells Chris that way.
Just for fun, you have C-H-R-I-S?
Of course.
Yeah. Angel? No, you have those two?
I don't have the angle. I have C-H-R-I-S, Angel. And I'm sure someone now is getting the angle one.
Trying to sell it.
I know, sell my DVD.
We have Penn Jillette with G and without the E on the end and everything else. So you have the wrong spellings. Because, you know, for a long while, the phone number we had here was 866-313-FREE. And 800-313-FREE was a porno line that charged by the minute. So I think that you always have to have those angles. Are you going to sell a lot of the magic tricks you do?
Some of them. We started a series called The Masterminds, and there's some wonderful material out there that, you know, I really do want to get people that are interested in the art of magic. Because I think the art of magic is absolutely beautiful. Unfortunately, it just hasn't been presented by most in a way that kept it relevant, you know.
And why, what does the DVD cost if they buy it the proper way?
The quarter through the soda can is $30.
Uh-huh.
And that is something that you can do literally anywhere. You can take a quarter, a can of soda sealed, and put it, you have the quarter signed, and put it right through the can. It's an amazing effect.
Yes, that is an amazing effect.
And, it's pretty simple sleight. You can learn it. It's $30. The levitation is $100, and I'll have a bunch of other DVDs coming
out. Now, if somebody were to buy the levitation, they can perform that just about anywhere.
Is
it more a party trick or is it more?
Well, I mean, it's something that, depending upon how you want to present it, you could do it on stage for a group of people. You could perform it one on one, but it's not going to be the most practical. You know, you have to make something in order to do it, whereas the quarter through soda can, you can do that anywhere, anytime, with no props.
Now, you that's chrisangel.com, C-R-I-S-S-A-N-G-E-L.com.
And people can also get information on the TV series Mind Freak, which airs every Wednesday on A&E.
Now, you told us last time you were on for the full show, not the last time you were on Bitching About Blaine, but the last time you were on for the full show, you talked about how you'd use twins for this one thing where you went back in time.
Right, right.
And then you issued a challenge to all of us saying that in the next series on A&E, you were going to use twins again and you'd fool people again.
Yeah.
Did you use twins for something?
Absolutely.
You don't tell us what it is.
But watch the series and try to pick out where the twins are. I'm not going to tell you how many, what, 1, 2, 3, 10, but just watch it and it will blow you away.
So you did keep your promise.
Absolutely.
And you also have made, and not just on this show, but other places as well, you've also said that anything David Blaine will do, you will do. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, it's just, I just think this has to come to a head because, you know, it's just, you know, when I was in the tank of water, he came by and I know what he went through because I was there, done it, you know, 2 years ago, or three years ago, whatever it was, 4 years ago, 2002 I did it. And so, you know, I just want him to face his biggest fear, and that's me. and just get it done and get it over with. And David, you know, I love you and I think you're great, but let's bring it on.
There are some ground rules. You both have to have your shirts off, right? Important part of your, both of your careers are based on taking your shirts off. So it will not be something where you're like wearing heavy down jackets.
No. I'll keep my shirt on so I can be creepy.
Do you have any idea of the kind of stunt that you'd want to do that maybe David wouldn't?
Well, initially he said that we were going to be in two bubbles, uh-huh. is what he said, next to each other. That was on page six of
Say that?
Yeah.
You do two bubbles
this
side by side?
This is years ago. And then when my camp contacted his, you know, he doesn't return the call, doesn't want
to. Well, you know, there's a certain kind of water reaching its own level. Mm-hmm. You have to wait until there's a time mm-hmm. when there's something in it for him.
Right.
If you get much more popular than
right.
David Blaine, he will take you up on that challenge.
Right.
As long as he feels he's more popular than you,
right.
then there's nothing in it for him.
Right, right.
So you have to, what we have to find out,
right.
and I'll call you on this in a couple of years, when you're much more famous than David Blaine, and he calls you up and says, do you want to do that challenge now? Are you still going to do it?
I would, because it's not. It's
Are you
not,
still going to do
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. You know why? You want to tell you why? This is the difference. For me,
absolutely.
For me, it's not about any of that. It's not about money. It's about myself
mm-hmm.
and about myself as an artist and somebody who, you know, really prides himself on being very diligent and approaching something and trying to be the best at what I do. And so, you know, for me, it's more about my own ego. It's never satisfied.
Now, what were you doing for a living, and what were you doing just kind of in your head when the first Street Magic special came out?
I was actually...
What kind of guy was Chris Angel then?
I was... actually, when I came out, I was on Ricky Lake doing Street Magic, honestly. And I was somebody who was very obsessed with music and magic, and I've been doing it since I was... music since I was six, and magic I got involved in when I was like seven and really got into it when I was 10. So that's all I ever did. I never had a regular job or anything like that. I made my living from my craft.
Now, you know, this is a really important question. A lot of your good ideas we've seen on the A&E, and since, you know, Mind Freak mm-hmm. took off and you've gotten successful, since you've been going since you were seven or eight, what were your really bad ideas? What ideas do you have that sucked?
Well, I think it was the whole evolution of how I was going to incorporate the art of magic with original music and have like a band.
Oh,
that
you,
I was going to
front. You didn't do like a mic stand levitation or something?
No, it wasn't that bad. Wasn't that bad? But if you look at me back in the day with my hair and my clothing choices, which is in this book coming out, by the way, with HarperCollins this fall, I have a book coming out. You'll actually see
called
about 100
bad hair and clothing choices by Chris Angel.
Yeah, I'm so embarrassed because the captions that I had to write on it, I was just like, I don't know what I was thinking.
You know what though? 10 years from now,
yeah,
you'll
exactly.
be doing the same thing. I just yeah. want to point out yeah.
you'll be
the
here
next
going.
Book.
10 years from now, you'll be going, Pen, bro, why didn't you tell me about the crosses? Why didn't you just rip the crosses off my neck?
But I would, you know, you had to get some material from somewhere,
exactly.
so I had to provide material for your show. You know.
But, what were your hair and clothing choices?
Well, I mean, I guess it was, I guess if you look back.
Oh,
in
sure.
Day,
oh, yeah.
Kind of,
I got very bad haircuts.
Yeah, I remember the Run DMC and
oh, sure.
tricky video.
Sure. But we had fortunately always had the gray suits.
That's
so we
true.
Just have that.
Yeah.
But I had really, really bad hair. Horrible hair. Terrible. It was essentially a mullet that I had. Did you go through a mullet phase?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I mean, I was about, 16 years old. I had the bi-level.
Oh, sure.
Or the Rick Springfield book.
And what magic were you doing then?
I was doing cards, coins, and really illusions and birds. You know, I kind of would say that I was much more like a Johnny Thompson, not nearly as good, mm-hmm. but a general practitioner. You know, I never was obsessed with just one type of magic. I always try to learn a little bit about the different forms of magic.
Now, when you said you did street magic, I, for years, performed in a place called Headhouse Square in mm-hmm. Philadelphia, where street performing was illegal. And Teller and I did shows there. And it was real, no kidding, street performing. Gather a crowd, pay off the cops,
right.
you know, pass a hat, make your money. And I made my living like that for years. Did you ever do that kind of street performing?
Honestly, no. I did stuff in the city, just more, you know, would go there. And when I was shooting stuff, I would just shoot some stuff, you know, on the street, or I would do the straitjacket and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, to make a living.
It was for the camera.
Yeah, it was for the camera.
So what did you do when you were, you know, straight out of high school or something? If you didn't have a regular job and you didn't have a TV show.
I performed, you know, private parties, everything from corporate events to sweet 16s to birthday parties, proud to say. And whatever I could do just to make a buck. Then I got a break. I performed in Madison Square Garden. I did 600 or whatever it was. I did 60 shows a day for 10 days. It was like a 15-minute act I had to do. It was for their Halloween show. And I was, I made like a makeshift theater. And that was insane. That was like more work than you can ever imagine for like no money. But I did it because I just felt it was important.
What were the tricks you were doing the 15 minutes? And if you say you don't remember.
No, I do remember. I can tell you exactly.
You can't do 600 shows and not remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Did Metamorphosis.
Metamorphosis.
For those who don't know, who aren't magic, although this sometimes turns into just magic juggling talk here. Metamorphosis was Houdini's closing trick for years with Bess.
Right.
It's the one you see where one person is tied up, put in a sack, put inside a box. Another person goes on top, and they hold up a little sheet and go, one, two, three, it's me. And the
right.
two people in Swiss place. Or in France, it's un, deux, trois, c'est moi. But it's always one, two, three, it's me.
Right.
And what did you ever...
Well, I never did the one, two, three. I definitely had much more of a sensibility of MTV and of music and,
uh-huh.
and those influences. And it was you know, much more theatrical. And actually...
But did you have an assistant? Were you switching places?
Yeah, yeah. And actually, in the series, this season of Mind Freak, I bring it to the streets, and I'm going to attempt to do that effect faster than anybody has done it, and without the use of a curtain.
I just want you to know that, you know, when you do something like Metamorphosis, a trick that Houdini did,
right.
and you call it a tribute and do it faster than him, it's not a tribute. It would just piss him off.
I know. He'd probably
Houdini,
try to beat this.
He would kick your ass so hard. Your skinny Greek New York ass would be just brought down by the Jew from Budapest in a second, because you can challenge Blaine all you want. If Houdini were alive, he would just eat you for breakfast. Yeah. All of us. We'll be back after this. This is Ben Schlepp on Free FM. Also, Michael Goudeau, as always, Michael Goudeau right there like the handle on a pump. Just always
right.
right there.
I'm not going to be able to leave here, I don't think, because
no.
I feel like Houdini's spirit's outside waiting to kick my ass.
it was a really... the reason I had to point that out was we did this thing. There was a William Shatner Houdini special done on Halloween. And you remember that special.
Yes,
Pendragon. Not because of us, because of the Pendragons.
Yeah,
because they
great.
Did Metamorphosis.
Yeah.
And she was doing a full costume change. Char Pendragon. They're called Jonathan Pendragon and his
sure.
wife Char, who are the Pendragons.
Right, right.
And they were doing Metamorphosis, where they switch. And she was doing a full costume change, and she couldn't get the bottom to her G-string on. So William Shatner tried to pull her out of the box.
She didn't want
and
to
looked at it and didn't want to come out of the box. And I found later the inside information that she actually had her G-string on backwards. I mean, there's just how stupid do you have to be to not know what part of a G-string goes in the front? Anyway, that's the way we're. We
she
were on that
Russian.
Special. No one remembers it because we cannot compete
right.
with Char Pendragon without a bottom.
Right.
So
we
could not compete. We were on that special. And the whole thing we did, our gag on it was, we said, you know, there was a lot of magicians on, and they were all doing Houdini stunts. Mm. And our gag was, Houdini would not want other people doing his stunts, and certainly not faster and better. So we're going to do our style of a tribute to Houdini, and we pulled someone out of the audience, and we said, these are handcuffs. Put these handcuffs on. Aren't those hard to get out of? And the guy went, yeah, I don't know anything about this. We put leg shackles on him and said, that's really tough, isn't it? He goes, I couldn't get out. We go, see how hard Houdini's stuff is? And we put him in a packing case and hammered it shut and just lit it on fire and kicked it into the river. And went, see, that's what you could do if you're not Houdini. You just drown.
So that's where Johnny Thompson getting handcuffed
yeah, yeah,
came from.
That's where it started. We I just... we got really obsessed with a while for a while with taking out kind of bondage equipment to demonstrate it on people and just putting them in it and going, see how hard it is?
It's great. You don't have to learn anything.
It's, it's really how tough that really is. And I want to always repeat the challenge you have to Blaine anytime, any place, and the most important one to people listening. The part that they care about is, no matter what it is, you will do it, you will beat them, blah, 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 blah.
Houdini will actually be there as well. He will. He'll show up.
All that macho stuff they care about. What I care about is, even if you're way, way, way more famous than Blaine, you'll still do it, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's the hype part that I care about. That's the hype part.
Can we cut that clip
out
and save that, because that's going to be useful later?
Yeah. Put that right
in
on the
court.
I appreciate your confidence in my career. Thank you.
Well, no, I think you're going to do great.
Thank you.
I think that you're just barely starting out. I think they're just because everybody just flips for the show, and I always know the state of Magic by just what I'm asked. I walk into a room with an interview, and they're going to ask me, what do you think of blank? They're going to ask me. Whether that's Lance Burton, David Copperfield, Siegfried Roy, David Blaine, it all cycles through them. Every interview I do now, what do you think of Criss Angel?
That's awesome.
That's where it starts. That's how I judge people's careers. And the people that I've been asked about before have done very well.
Right.
Very, very well. Providing you don't get your head bit off by a tiger. Because that does derail your career very, very quickly. You said something earlier in passing that's so important to me. And I just want to applaud you for this and back you up on this, giving away scams and psychics and stuff like that. And I'm so glad, because before I got to know you and I would read, you know, little things in your message board and stuff, I was so afraid you were going to go to the dark side, and you were going to leave it, you know, open,
right,
whether you had real powers, whether you just did tricks. And it was just so refreshing and just filled my heart with joy when you just used the word tricks and said, I'm just doing tricks, and did it all that way. It just makes it so fabulous. And
I think people appreciate it for an art form, and, you know, you got to be – you can't mislead – people that are vulnerable. You got to be straightforward and do the right thing.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's just so terrific, because you know, that is an obsession of ours.
Right.
We do everything based on that. But the fact that it's not an obsession of yours, but you still do it right and do the respectful thing is great and
thank
wonderful.
You.
And it's respectful to your audience. It's not treating your audience like they're people to be scammed,
right,
but people who are supposed to see your art and be entertained. And you also did like an album, right?
Yeah, well, I've obviously been fascinated with music since I was a kid and got interested in music before Magic, and had the opportunity to record my fifth album. I have a label called Apatrag Records. I just got...
called what?
Apatrag. Apatrag, APITRAG Records.
What does that mean?
Angel Productions Incorporated Recording Artist Group.
Sarmati. Sarmati.
Yeah, there you go. So
I thought I was going to learn a new word.
So we got distribution through Koch, and it drops June 27th. I got incredible guests. I wrote some material with Godsmack Sully, the lead singer of Godsmack, and we have Nuno Betancourt, the guitar player that was in a band called Extreme.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And then we had cameo appearances in the video with Vince Neil from Motley Crue. So it's really it's 21 songs. It has DVD component, 30 minutes of behind the scenes, the making of. It has all of these different celebrities in there, and I'm really, really proud. I got to tell you, the single.
What do you do on it?
I wrote the material with different people, and I did the vocals.
Focus. You don't play guitar in it?
No, I played the drums for about 12 years, but I guess
playing the drums for 12 years is better than being in a fishbowl for 7 days. But so you're not doing any of the instruments on it. You're just
singing.
Doing the singing.
Yeah, the vocals. Cool. Yeah. And
now, are you like an 80s hair band fanatic?
No. I actually like more. I like either Led Zeppelin, mm-hmm, or I like, you know, some of the newer bands.
Yeah.
I didn't really think the music. No offense to
Rat and Poison.
Yeah, were really very prolific.
Uh-huh. Didn't put out enough stuff for you?
Well, yeah.
I just didn't know. You could be, to me, if I had to guess. Yeah. You could be kind
of. Some of it's like, you know, Motley Crue and stuff like that. They were cool and stuff like that.
I believe there's an umlaut. I believe it's Motley Crue. I believe it's not Motley Crue. Isn't it Motley Crue? I tried saying that. You know, I was talking to Vince Neil, and I said, well, you know, with the umlauts, you know, isn't it Motley Crue? I think he's never been less interested in anything that was said to him. A punctuation or a pronunciation joke to Vince Neil, just wasting my breath completely.
I love Vince. He's one of my dear friends. Vince is great, and Sully's great.
If Vince Neil is your friend and you like coming on this show, when are you going to move to Vegas like a real man?
When I open up my live show, which hopefully will be announced in the next 6 weeks,
cool.
I'll be doing a live show here for hopefully about 10 years.
Oh, that's good.
And that way I can come and haunt you every day.
All the time.
With Houdini Spirit.
All the time with Houdini Spirit. We can talk about that. So you are going to do a Vegas show when you settle in.
Yeah.
Well, that's good because, you know, I'm getting so sick of recommending Blue Man Group to people. You know, all I ever do is they say, what's a good show in town? I would do a Blue Man Group.
How about Lance?
Lance, too. I mean, Goodell's here. He does for Lance.
Yeah.
But it'll be good to
you work for Lance?
Yeah, I work for Lance.
I was wondering who you are. I'm sorry. No, just kidding.
Seems so familiar.
And you haven't announced.
You actually have a great act.
You're very kind.
Yeah, no, I love when you pop out and go, Mama!
Well, thank you. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. From the script, you know, I'm born on stage, for those of you who haven't seen the show.
Now,
I got some apples, dude.
Are you announcing what hotel you're at yet, or is that still top secret?
Yeah, I had to keep it top secret.
Top secret.
So it's officially signed.
Top secret. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, but it will be announced on, I forgot that website. Damn.
ChrisAngel.com.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
CRISS. And is that the spelling your parents gave you, the CRISS?
No, it absolutely is not. My real name is Christopher Nicholas.
How did you not own a diner?
Well, my dad did. That's why.
Oh, come on. He didn't really own a diner.
No, he did. He owned a bunch of coffee shops, and I used to work there, and then I realized this is something I never want to do.
But where were the coffee shops?
They were in New York.
In Manhattan?
No, on the island.
On the island?
In the industrial areas of, you know, where the warehouses were and guys needed to.
But it was one of those really good Greek diners?
It was actually written up in the papers. The corned beef hash was written up all the time.
Oh, I love the corned beef hash.
My dad... no longer here, but made the best corned beef hash.
And are those diners still around? Do they go to someone else's hands?
Somebody else's hands,
Oh, they're not in the family at all?
No, not in the family.
I thought you'd have a funnier last name than that to change.
Well, no, my real last name I don't want to say because people show up at my mom's house.
But the real, real
okay.
one.
Yeah. I'll say it, but just beep it out. But it's... I have people showing up at my mom's house, and she's 71 years old. And,
oh, yeah. You don't want that.
Yeah, people are crazy.
Sure.
You know? See, I don't have the money that you have to have this fortress, right? That you have.
I do.
You know,
I do live in a
like
compound.
Gates and people with machine guns and tanks outside. You know, well, you just know, ready for somebody that you know you, just throws a letter to
you also,
over your fence.
You also don't say the things I say.
That's true.
So you maybe don't need that big thing. So we got we're coming very close to the end of the show. Anything else you want to pimp on the special? You get the. Well, did you have a name for the album?
Yeah, it's just the official soundtrack for season one, season two. Chris Angel Mind Freak. We got the television series. We got the book coming out in the fall. And I would highly recommend to go see Penn and Teller in Las Vegas. They have an incredible show. And Lance Burton, obviously, with Michael. Just thank you so much for being such proponents, and I appreciate your friendship.
Well, always a pleasure to have you on, Chris. And he still has that challenge. David Blaine, anytime, any place, he'll do anything.
And even Houdini will appear there.
And even Houdini will appear.
Yeah.
Houdini will make an appearance, I'll guarantee it. And,
you should just box.
You could referee the whole thing.
I'll certainly be the judge.
Yeah.
I will absolutely be the judge.
You set up the whole thing. You'd be the big, you'd be Don King. Get that hair happening.
Do the hair very, very easily.
Thanks so much, guys.
This is Penn Jillette with Michael Goudeau in Las Vegas saying goodbye to Chris Angel. Thanks a lot, man.
Poof.